Accession number 23187, Reel 5.
Mr. Ashcombe, Reel 5. We're talking about when you switched flight to number 5541, when you moved from your base in France in about March 1945. So where were you going to?
We were going to Helmond. That was in Holland.
And what can you tell us a little about what you were to do at Helmond, where you were based?
Well, once again, it was a case of being the flight clerk. That was purely and simply my job, routine writing. I did absolutely nothing on the losing the continuity here. No, at Helmond it was mainly a case of, as I say, I didn't know what they were doing out there, and
they were on an airstrip though.
Oh yes, well I think it was an airfield actually, but. And they all got blasted before we got there on January the 1st. Jerry had a big final throw, but we weren't there at the time, so that was all right.
What were your billets like?
That's a thing I've been trying to... I think they were some sort of hats. I think. Where my brain has gone... down, I mainly remember the social side.
Well, tell us about that. Tell us about that.
Well, they had dances at the Floral Hall in Helmond, and I'd get some tickets, and there was a small 8th Air Force American detachment, and I'd push a couple their way, and they'd put on transport to take us into town. Of course, we had to make our own way back, and that was when the big American 10-ton Max came storming down the road. And the best thing to do if you heard them coming was to jump into the ditch. That was the main road up to Venlo, which was where the front was at the time.
What were the dances like at the Floral Hall?
Well, a dance is a dance is a dance. Quick step, foxtrot, waltz, and...
But would you have local Belgian civilians there? Or was it
Dutch civilians.
Sorry, yes.
Yeah, that's all right. Oh, yes, it was probably one of those dances where I met somebody and took me back, and I used to visit with the family, you know, in the evenings when... if there was nothing else on... So we'd but funnily enough, the end of that, we moved.
When did you move?
Beginning of May. And I wrote a couple of times, didn't hear anything, and when I saw our dispatch rider where at the new place, he said they hadn't heard from me. So I said, well, I've been writing. I wonder perhaps if it was the father shielding his daughter. So...
Now, where did you move to in May? Was it before or after VE Day?
VE Day, we moved just before. That was when we went up to Vennebeck, which was just inside the German border.
Now, how do you spell that?
Vennebeck. And I've got another one you'll want me to spell. What we were doing there, although I would never went to the airfield, we were laying down an airstrip to serve the air headquarters, which were to be in Bad Oeynhausen.
That's all right. If we won't need to spell it. What do you remember of your time at Vennebeck? Almost immediately, you'd have VE Day, I presume.
That's right. And
what do you remember of the celebrations, if any?
None. It was that has always stayed in my mind. We had no celebrations on VE Day. Quite amazing, really, isn't it?
So, what happened at Vennebeck?
Well, I was just we were billeted in a school with very deep secondary double glazing, and there was a boiler room downstairs, So we weren't cold while we were there. Shortly after we arrived, I think I mentioned we had 2 days off for VE Day, but we heard there was, down the road in a warehouse, there was a couple of pianos that were being guarded by the army, but they went to lunch between 1 and 2. So we laid on a 3-tonner, and the officer came along on his motorbike, and we loaded these 2 pianos, and he said, well, we've got a little while yet, have a punt around. And so we had a little scratch around, but I picked up a pair of German surgical scissors, which I've still got to this day, and they've never been sharpened. So
now, what did you do with the pianos when you got them back?
Well, one was a bit stuck up, you know, the action was all sticky. So, of course, the officer, in true officer fashion, said, oh, we'll have the other one. He didn't know what he was doing, because it left the... We had the better piano, it was a Bechstein upright. And our flight sergeant had been a piano tuner in Civvy Street. He'd got his key with him, but what we did, we pulled the action out, put it down into the boiler room, dried it all out, and when it was dry, fixed it back in the piano, and he tuned it. So I certainly had a piano I could play on. And then we had a visit from, I think it was Ravitch and Landauer. And I said, look, you know, I haven't been playing any music since I joined this man's outfit. So he said, apply to your welfare officer. Didn't even know we had a welfare officer. It was, we were merely small detachments under a sergeant or a flight sergeant, and you knew nothing more. So I applied for a posting, didn't expect to hear much more about it. And that's the way it went. And then we were there for probably a couple of months.
So you were just doing your clerical duty?
That's right, yeah. We were there for a couple of months, and then we moved up to Stade, which was south of Hamburg. That would have been in early July.
And how do you spell that?
Stade. I don't remember much about that move either. This is my memory jumping up again. This was a permanent Luftwaffe station, and there was a large radio section. So two of us started building small radio receivers for the members of the flight. It utilised my knowledge from the radio course that I'd been on 2 years previously. And that was about the sum total of Bad Einhausen. All right, we used to go down in the village and things, but there was nothing mind-shattering or anything like that.
So at Stade, what else happened there?
Not a lot. Oh, yes, that's right. While we were at Stade, we had VJ Day.
What do you remember of that?
The same as VE Day, nothing. It was just another uneventful day. But I thought, oh, well, that is it. And then shortly after that, I got my posting to Air Headquarters. And there was just me and another chap were travelling together on the train. And when we got there, of course, the usual bit, they decide where they're going to put you, because the original communication that posted me in, they'd lost it. It was at the time they were posting gang showing, you know, from smaller units and things like that. And I...
Where were Air Headquarters?
In Buckeberg.
How do you spell that?
Buckeburg.
And what exactly were you joining at Air Headquarters?
Well, it was the BAFO unit, welfare unit in particular, which made it all the more reason why I thought I was being posted in purely as on entertainment duties. But as they'd lost the original wire, and I got a copy of the wire that posted me in with the other guy, you know, he wasn't entertainment. So I just had to go through the normal routine of where they wanted to put me, the orderly room, or finished up in, well, theatrical stores, where we had all theatrical drapes, lighting, massive switchboards, musical instruments. They were all there. But of course, shortly...
So when did you actually go to Bukkeberg?
That was the end of September.
And so you were working in the theatrical stores for a while?
Ultimately, it was the orderly room to start with, and then they pushed me up to the theatrical stores. Funnily enough, we had two NCOs there that had double-barreled names. I think there was a third, but I've never remembered the third. One was the MT corporal, and the other was the sergeant in the orderly room.
So it's sort of ordinary orderly room duties?
Yeah, purely and simply.
And then in the what exactly were you doing in the theatrical stores when you moved there?
Well, looking after all the stuff, keeping an inventory. We also had a couple of WAFs that were making costumes for all the theatrical shows that were going out. But shortly after I got the Bukkeberg, I was called in to the CO, and of course from Normandy days we were all wearing khaki, and nobody had bothered to take us out of khaki and put us in blue. So the group captain, who was the CO, he used to drive around in a big Mercedes coupe, which one can imagine where and how he got it. He said, well, go to the stores and get yourself some blue, so, and then come back and see me. And so I went to the stars, and he said, oh, that's better. You know, when I was in blue, I was an airman again. But funnily enough, when your trade is general duties, you can't do much of a trade test to for your proficiency. But in the event, I started playing with the bands. They were all getting various demobs.
How were the band? How did you get into the band?
Well, word travels fast. Actually, the NCO in charge of the theatrical stores was himself a drummer, and he had been running the Baffo band. So
Baffo standing for
British Air Forces of Occupation, as against the BAOR, which was the British Army on the Rhine. But
so did you get into his band? How did you get in? Which band did you get into first?
Well, guys phone up, as he'd been around for a while, and they phone, have you got somebody? I need some more to make up the band. So he used to put me out. Of course, we just used to take a drum kit out to the stores and go off and do the gig. But funnily enough,
as a drummer, of course.
That's the way it was at that time. But funnily enough, although one couldn't do proficiency for aircraft and general duties, it was rather amazing. I got my first proficiency, which is aircraftsman first class, on December the 1st. And then I got my leading aircraftsman on the 16th of February, and all I'd been doing was playing with bands.
So it was on account of that, do you think?
Oh, yes. Well, there was no other reason.
Now, tell me a bit about your work with bands, then.
Well, it was... we had a very good understanding with the MT section. We could always phone up, and they'd lay on a three-tonner, so that we could go to the various outlying places. There was a band up at Bad Eilsen, which I think was where the 8th General Hospital was. That was an RAF regiment band, run by a certain flight lieutenant Percival, and his band was called the Jive Five, Freddie Flywheel and the Jive Five. Well, of course, Freddie Flywheel you used to see on walls with the big nose and the two hands. And I remember playing for his demob party. It got a bit hairy.
In what way?
Plenty of, nothing villainous. Freaky. It didn't get wicked. Well, it was in the officers' mess, you see, so we all had to watch it, but you know what officers' messes can be like. And apparently the next morning he phoned up and said, "What happened to the weights in the clock on the wall in the mess?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said somebody had substituted a couple of champagne bottles to act as weights. But, I was playing various bands there, and then this Sergeant Craig Capebread, who we used to call Crummy, and I never saw him again from the day he went on retirement, never heard of him, he came from Ilford Way. We decided to reform the old station band, you know. We had all the library down at the stores and things like that. And because we were both sort of drummers, we decided we'd try it out. He went on piano for the first half and I was on drums. And then we swapped over halfway. Well, it was seen that it was everybody's opinion that I was a greater improvement on the piano than he was, and that's the way it stayed at that time.
Now, what was your station band called then?
The Baffo Band, basically, you know. That was our band.
B-U-F-O.
B-A-F-O.
British Air Force, yes. British Air Force.
It used to be known as Com Swing Tet, but we just used to call it the Com Band. As against, we had a band over from Uxbridge that we used to refer to as the Uxbridge Band, you know, but they in fact had their own name. And so that we were working nearly every night in the week, you know. If it wasn't with the Baffo Band, we'd do a duet with the regiment band or the band up on the airfield, because of course by that time, as I was playing piano, the band on the airfield was, I think it was run by a drummer, and they needed a pianist, so I could shoot up there and play piano. So, but little by little, because of demob, they were all folding, and we got quite a lot of work. We used to play periodically in what they called the WAF date room, and various other ones. We go up to the 8th General Hospital and things like that. And we were in fact booked in for the New Year's Eve dance at the Malcolm Club in Bookieburg. And then suddenly there was a last minute change and they sent us up to the 8th General Hospital. I think it was because of Geraldo was booked to play, who was a well-known name at that time. And they thought they'd I think that it was the command band was the band from Uxbridge, as I say. It was the Com Swing Tet, but it wasn't the command band. And when we finished up at the 8th General, we thought, oh, we'll go and look in the Mountain Club. You know, we sort of knew them all. And when we got there, it was more or less all closed up. Well, of course, it appeared that there was a bit of a problem there, and they'd all packed up and gone home. I don't think I'd better say what the problem was, but we often wondered why we were changed. We didn't find out until after the gig that it was Geraldo playing there. But that was another Christmas that I didn't get home. I was home, of course, when I was first in, and that was another Christmas that we spent. So I think I can truthfully say I was never served by the officers in the mess. You know, this is the traditional thing, you get served on that day. So I never did that.
How did you get on with the German civilians? While you
didn't have much to do with them. Because that, by, you know, although with airfield construction, by that time they were moving on to using large numbers of civilians. But, and of course, being a welfare unit and playing with bands and all that, I tended to have a sainted life. I could go out when I like and come in when I like. Reasonably, you know, if I wanted to walk down to the Mountain Club in the afternoon, I would do that. And on the way to the Mountain Club was the RAF police shop. And I remember walking down there one day. I passed it. And when I got past it, I hear this voice, "Hey, you." Well, of course, I don't answer to "Hey, you." So I carried on walking. And then when he said "airman," I thought, well, I'm more or less on my own, you know, everybody's working. I turn round, and then there's this big sergeant with his white gauntlet pointing at me, "Come here." So he said, "What unit are you from?" I said, "Bapo Welfare Sergeant." He said, "I'll get your hair cut before you come down again there, Sergeant." So as I say, we had quite a sainted life, and there was another little instance of how the band, although we were only voluntary band, had a sainted life, because we got some Canadian comforts. It was a cloth coat based on the leather jerkin, you know, sleeveless, and it was fur lined, all stitched in, all beautifully. Well, of course, it got a bit cold in the winter when we were in the back of a 3-ton truck, and with the help of our machinists in the theatrical stores, they put a nice big collar on it for me, a big furry collar. Well, of course, I was called up into the, by which time it was a lady, a flight officer was our CO, and she asked me about the collar. I said, well, after all, they are comforts, and so we can reasonably officially wear them. So she said, oh, all right, will you take the collar off? I said, well, it gets a bit cold in the back. So she said, well, I'll let you wear the jerkin without the big collar. I said, is it all right if I turn it inside during the day, so I've still got it for when we're on the truck at night? So that was another thing I got away with. And it was a most unusual place, really, because, you know, you'd get the science mess or something like that. Well, we had things painted, nicely painted boards outside the houses we were living in, like gang show billet and band billet. It was quite amusing. Yes, there was a sergeant's mess, but then we were just a bit down the road from that. And this Sergeant Cakebread, he was a corporal when I first went there, so we were in the same billet together. But he got his promotion to sergeant, which wasn't bad, shortly before he was going on demob, so he moved into the mess. We did another gig, a Wren officer's wedding, I think it was, in Detmold. And I don't remember much of the journey back from there, not because it was uneventful, but we were all a bit out of our minds after that, drinking German Schlichter at that time. And, well, it was just one big ball, actually, while we were there. All right, we were basically waiting our time out. But if we had to be in Germany because we were there, it was a lovely way to start spending your time. Now, my bass player, that once again, because they're in and out, he was with Number Two Gang Show, in and out. It was, in fact, he was with the band in Normandy that we heard playing in a field, you know.
That's what you said you were going to come back to that, yes. So that's what it was, the band.
Yeah, but I didn't meet him at the time, so it was quite amusing. and very satisfying when he filled in the bits that he hadn't got his base with him then. That becomes another story a later time and associated with him, of course. I won't go into all that. But it's funny we should wind up, and it was his squadron CO that finished up as a group captain, I think. Group Captain Scott, or Wing Commander, who was the youngest in the Air Force at the time, operational, you know. And it was he that arranged for the beer to be put in the drop tanks.
That you mentioned.
Yeah. So that I mentioned, yeah.
Carry on.
And then, of course, that as I said, I'd previously spoken about the Christmas festivities. And then come the spring.
What about New Year? Any bashes at New Year?
Well, the New Year was the one we did up at the 8th General.
Sorry.
You know, when the command band were, you know...
What about the demob parties? What were they like?
Well, we just went.
No, I mean, for other people, when you put a party on, what were they like?
Well, it wasn't a case. You just wanted to do the proverbial quick schmites. We didn't lay on parties, other than, as I say, this flight lieutenant...
So there wouldn't be, when other people left, there wouldn't be demob parties. It was just that was a one-off.
There were so many things going on, and an officer's thing is different to an ERT thing. Of course, you might go down the the Malcolm Club and have a few beers or something like that. But, you know, we were all busy. As this bass player said, we were all playing jazz and waiting for our demob.